Saha says, thanks so much for joining us. Tonight we have Cooper, Vesh, and Pinky is joining us this evening for the first time. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast with us.
Anytime.
Excellent. We are going to open the show this evening with Redox of. What are we talking about?
I have several children, and I bought two-day child tickets, to Cyber City Con, including my own band. Yeah, it was like $15, right? But how they thought these bands would survive even 5 hours with my oldest child is beyond me. They need to do? Badges. How many badges? I have 8 children. I have 8 children. That's no secret. I don't keep that, locked up away somewhere. But people, if you're going to hold a convention, and this is an, I blame Alamo City Con on this, because they are the ones who run Comic Con, and they are the ones who run this Cyber City Con. If I'm wrong, correct me, but I'm pretty sure they're the same people. The bands have to go. I bought a 2-day pass. I bring 3 kids in. I shouldn't have to tie a band to a kid.
So these bands, are these money, the Tivic ones, the Ripstop ones that they just put right around your wrist and it sticks to you? What is it?
Yeah, you can't see
it's
it
a tamper evident. Yeah, it's a tamper evident band. Okay.
Right. It's a tamper evident band. By the way, I was able to get off of 2 kids very untamperedly. So they fail there. You know the best ones are? The best ones are the ones that have that pin, I think, they go through them. They're like the flexi bands.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd love to pull J-Gore or one of the other, or Maldonado or Linus. Linus in on this.
Dennis.
Denny Malds or whatever you want to call him. I would like to pull one of them in at one point and just mm-hmm. say, look, these bands, what can we do to improve these? But sure. I found the ones that are harder to get off are the ones where they put the pin in it and slam it down, a shopping tag. But I did get what I paid for in the con. I got $35 for a 2-day pass, got in, saw a bunch of toys. I think the toys were a little bit off in the pricing. The ones that I thought were good, you've got it. So just to bring it home. They got like a an old Jetfire Autobot,
sure,
right? That was in a bag, and for anybody who knows about the Jetfire toys, the old Jetfire toys, they come with a ton of these little parts, and it had all the parts and everything, but it's in a bag.
Yeah,
and it's basically a no more than 7 inches tall, and they won $150 for it in a bag, and I'm like, I can find those on Amazon.com right now, reissues. And if for less than that, I can find them for $30 reissued on Amazon. And you're giving me this guy in a bag. I can't go through. There's no way to compare. So, just more. And all the McDonald's toys. They had so many just bins of McDonald's toys for $5 a piece. And I'm sitting. My kids thankfully settled on a bunch of these female Dark Avengers.
Okay.
And we got those. And those were like $15 a piece, and they were really well done dolls. I gotta tell you, they were very, my kids played with them in the car, and only one piece fell off, and it was a hair piece, and I can glue that back on. It's fine.
So help us out here. How large was this show? Let's say if you've been to PAX South and you know how big that can get. So how big was Cyber City Con?
Cyber City Con was probably like half of the gaming table size.
Oh my.
Right? So, like the entire gaming section is about half that big. It was one room of toys mm-hmm. and then one room for panels. It was cool. I did take the opportunity to go to one of the panels, and it was a guy named Kevin McEverett, I think was his name. We can look it up, but he's involved with, I guess, the Robotech movie that's supposed to be coming out, and it's someday. And hold on, I'm not auto scrolling, so let me roll down here. So I see audio. So I got to talk to him, and I told him, I said, look, on May 9th, I have a national TV appearance. I will be on Crime Watch Daily 1 p.m. on May 9th on the CW.
Wow.
So I think that's channel 35. So we've had this in the can for a while, ever since ISSW, myself, Elvis Collado, otherwise known as Black Owl, otherwise known as Oh Snap, It's Elvis C. He's got a lot of go-bys. And and Jesse Irwin, who's the one of the either founders or chief media person for OnePass. Jesse, I'm Jesse Soros Rex on Twitter. Jesse, yep. I'm sorry if I mangled what you do at OnePassword. I don't have it sitting right in front of me. But, you know, it was a great talk. They did us justice. Rachel Adams from Rapid7, their PR person, kept us all in line, told us exactly what we could, and told us exactly, like, she protected us, right? Like, mm-hmm. we didn't have, and you know what it is? We didn't have to sign an NDA. We didn't have to sign a contract, no deal. We just got up there and did it, and she kept the interview in line, and she told us what questions could turn into bogeys. You know, whatever they're paying her, it's not enough.
Pretty awesome sounding opportunity. I gotta tell you that,
it was a fantastic opportunity. That's why when Todd Beardsley sent out the email, I responded to it immediately. I said, listen, I did Ken's Five. I think back in either January or February. And it was maybe even earlier than that, but, and it was a live interview, and I functioned, right? I was functional. So that's with these PR people, you just can't pay them enough. They are invaluable. And when, you know, you basically pay people what they're worth. And I think that kind of gets us to the story about Marissa Meyer. Over at Yahoo.com, if Cooper wants to expound on that, he's got a good readout of what's going on over there. Coop?
Well, yeah, it just seems like she's getting a lot of cash, man, for her golden parachute of 55 mil. I wish I got a layoff check like that. You know, I can't imagine getting over just, you know, a couple weeks, max a month payout. Because if that's what she gets a month, I am in the wrong business. I need to work for Yahoo.
Well, no, you understand these folks have this incredibly difficult task ahead of them, right? And they know that going in. And so they've got to have some kind of payout if it doesn't work. I imagine otherwise you almost guarantee yourself this is looking at some kind of black mark on your professional record. So what would make you willing to step out of your comfort zone to say, okay, I'm willing to take one for the team, but I'm going to give it a really good shot. Oh, you're going to pay me X number of dollars to be willing to walk away if the time comes. Now, I will caveat that by saying that there seems to be, and it could be a media impression. I'm not connected to these folks, so I don't really know. But there is a definite perception of some of these folks choosing to walk away, kind of like saying, you know what, I've had enough of paying for this here house, I'm going to just take the hit and go, that kind of thing, because they get this money one way or the other, kind of like even hear this a lot with athletes from friends of mine who talk sometimes about, I think it's free agency, where folks get all these crazy deals going on to get players to go and move from place to place, but I wouldn't know what to think about that.
It's amazing what happens when you are a person who has succeeded in another, you know, in another walk of life. Like, I'd hire Marissa Meyer in a second. I wouldn't even have to think twice about it. If she came and she said that she would take over distribution, product marketing, everything, you know, maybe not the CEO, but that's not what she did at Google. So you took somebody, and it's the Peter principle in effect. You know, you took somebody who was very good at the task at hand in a rising company. There was no such thing as fail at Google at the time that she was there, and she helped that along. And so take her and put her in a growing company. She's not Larry the Liquidator. She's not the person you call when you need to handle a company that's grabbing an increasing segment of a dying market.
So, okay, maybe that's the case, but Pinky, can you weigh in on the idea? Because right here in the article, it says that one person is quoted as saying, I don't think this management team has done anything to merit a huge payout. Now, they're basically an asset management company is just basically harping on these folks. What's your read on this?
I mean, I agree with that guy, Eric Jackson, because Yahoo hasn't changed in the slightest, in the last time since she's taken over. They've gone downhill. They're still, I mean, I guess around all the tech friends I hang out with, still being laughed at all the time. So it doesn't really matter that they brought her in. Just, it was a wrong move on her part to take this risk. I mean, I don't think you could have paid me enough to make this risk with Yahoo.
You know what? You know what you paid her for, right? That's what these guys do. There's only a few. It's just like wide receivers in the NFL. There's only a few of those people that can do that job. So they sign either incentive-laden contracts, built-in contracts. That's what happens. They negotiate that salary. So it would be like if somebody came back to me after negotiating a salary and said, "You know what? We don't like the performance you did. We're actually going to claw back some of that salary." And I said, "BS. We negotiated a salary. I didn't see anything in there that said, oh, we have every right to claw back the salary if you don't make revenue numbers in Q4."
But didn't they just bring her in to up their sale price later down the line? Because the same article quotes that in a deal for sale is expected to be struck in the next 2 months at a price ranging anywhere from like 4 billion to 10 billion. So 55 million to say, okay, take one for the team, go away. You never have to work again unless you spoof it all on like a private plane or something crazy, maybe a private island. I don't know. I can't imagine go running through 55 million and then having to work again.
Well, don't forget she also earned already another 14 million so far, so that gives her what, 70 million basically?
Yeah,
Yeah, but
if
this
she
isn't all.
saves her money, hey, how well are you going to be off?
This isn't all cash. This is a lot of this is incentivized stock. It'll be like preferred stock, things like that. So if she decide, where would Yahoo be without her is, I think, is the better question. If you were to put Jack Welch in there, would he, just
Oh, right.
using that, because he's the consummate CEO, right?
Sure.
Like that's who everybody ascribes to be. But if you'd have put anybody else in there, would they have been able to do half the stuff? I just don't think so. I think that she had the right personality at the right time. Yahoo wanted to put a new face to the company, and they wanted to kind of up. They wanted to up that exit. These guys said, "Look, either she's going to guide us to the promised land, or she's going to sustain until we can sell." And
So,
I think that's what the board looked at, and they saw it, and that's why she's agreeing to this. She's saying, "Look, I'll step aside because you're going to double my share price."
I was actually
So.
looking at that and thinking, that's a heck of a lot of money, even if it is in share prices, or excuse me, in stock options, incentivized or otherwise. So I fell upon in our rundown this story about Elizabeth Denham approved as the new information commissioner by select committee. Now, I'm not jumping to that story based on the fact that it's another person doing, it's a completely different role. It was the fact that in the article it describes that this person is going to make 144,000. Now, this is British pounds, but the point is you're talking about someone who makes millions upon millions of dollars for turning an entire corporation. And here's someone who's doing basically government service who's going to make still 140,000 of anything is pretty intense, unless you're talking lira, but that's a separate story. Rupees would also be kind of not so huge, I suppose, but whatever. The point is that there is this some very huge gap in what this person delivers. It's just funny to see such a wide gap when you're looking at news items. It's that difference between government sector and private sector, right?
Well, it's for this, I'm not so much concerned with the payout. I think we cap our appointments and our senior executive service at about 180, 180, 100 and,
Yeah.
almost 200 grand a year. And that's fine. This is public service. And it's not supposed to be the idea behind public service is you're supposed to have actually made it in the country before
Right.
you enter into public service. We're not supposed to have these serial public servants, they're supposed to leave. So, I'm encouraged by the fact that she is a prior, that she's a privacy advocate, I think. I don't know exactly which side of the fence she falls on, but there's a couple folks that have said, she's not that bad, and not that bad is about all you can get in well, and a government privacy advocate. So, and she's move is she moving over to, is she moving up in the, is she going over to the UK or is she staying, or is she staying in Canada?
See, that part is on the surface unclear in the story to me, but I admit I skimmed and just that caught my eye as we were discussing the other salary item and just thinking how much we pay what types of individuals in what types of roles. And it just surprised me from that point of view.
Did Britain take over Canada? Are they making a move on us?
No.
You didn't know that they're like just a colony? What?
We're going to have...
It says that Denham is currently serving as the Information and Privacy Commissioner in British Columbia, Canada, but will leave her post to join the ICO on a 5-year contract with an annual salary of £140,000. So she's leaving British Columbia to go serve this role in ICO.
With a contract like that, who wouldn't?
Exactly.
Agreed.
I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, you're leaving, yeah, she's leaving, I guess, maybe a low six-figure role to take a mid-six-figure role in another country, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you do it? Would you do one of those crazy overseas stints where you see, like, the contract pops, and it says, crazy amounts of money, you could get blown up?
No, because I could go to the desert now.
What?
Yeah. Any one of us with a six-year, like, a master's degree... and any management experience, and we wanted to go to the dirt, we could go to the dirt and earn $300K a year, and be off for 6 months out of the year.
How does that make you feel, Pinky, knowing that you're, do you mind if I talk about your education, where what you're currently chasing?
No, go ahead.
So you're openly nearing the completion of your PhD, is that correct?
Halfway through.
And what is your eventual goal? You see articles like this. You see where you can go and take these interesting roles. What is your consideration of what's your goal with getting the PhD? I'm very curious, especially with an information security background.
Right now, the goal is just to get it. But after that, I actually have a commitment with the DoD for 5 years.
Ah.
Okay, so you incurred the full commitment. Is there any way for you to get out of it? And, you know, well, wait a minute. You could be our mole.
Oh dear!
You could be our mole. Just think about it.
Jeez!
don't do that. Don't talk about that.
No, that's the... no.
I would like to remind our listeners that there is something in here called satire. So don't go during an OPM or DSS investigation. Say, mole.
Never.
Like, no.
If there's one thing I learned satire. when I was 13 years of age and I was trying to cross the Peace Bridge into Canada and I made a smart aleck remark and you said, keep it up. I'll make you turn back and walk all the way back across. Sorry. I learned at a young age, do not mess with the security professionals. Okay. So yes, it's sarcasm. It's satire. We're kidding.
Yeah, I actually like I like the Peace Bridge. Have you been there lately?
Oh, no, not in the last couple of years. Why? What's up?
So it is. You'd be waiting hours in that line to get across. Now I remember you could just take a boat and go to Canada. We used to go drinking. We take a boat, go to Canada, go drinking. I had a couple of friends that actually had a boat. You know, I wasn't rich, but I had a couple friend, well-heeled rubes that would cart my butt over there.
Oh gosh.
So
a dinghy.
You can't make it across. I don't know if you've ever seen Lake Ontario, but you can't. That's a death trap. You can't make that crossing in a friggin' dinghy.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, you would be dragged under. It would be bad, actually. Because at the base of the falls, it's not happening. So
this would be basically going from Oswego, New York to the next crossing, which is a little bit northeast of Ontario, Canada.
Nah.
And I got to tell you, that's not an easy junket, man.
So I want to go back for a minute, actually, although this is interesting. I want to go back to Pinky's pursuits with the PhD. So in other words, are you looking eventually? So you have a commitment coming up, but do you have any idea where you wanted to take your role with the level of knowledge you carry?
Anywhere InfoSec's good with me right now. All I've learned in these last few years is that you can't guess where you're going to end up in this field. The field's changing drastically every year. So where I thought it'd be, you know, 2 years ago is nowhere where I thought it'd be now.
You could take, I mean, I would take the, you know, that's what I'm gunning for. I got to make the master's before I, I go on for a PhD, but I mean, you could take another turn with this and just and do a little bit of research, a lot of speaking engagements, and you'd probably be a hit at that. You handle our drunk asses with I got to tell you
with aplomb, yes.
Future Tony Robbins
class. Or? It was class, the absolute class.
So, I appreciate it. Thank you.
So, aside from
next stop, AHA, and if you can handle AHA, then you're good.
Oh God.
you can talk in front of anybody.
Trial by fire.
Interesting. Oh God, we're all gonna die.
Thanks, Mal. Yes, that's exactly right. Actually, it was Wash technically, but that's okay. So the other side of that coin is if you take what your presentation skills and your willingness to give, because I know you participated in Southwest CCDC. And Vash, you've done Red Team with them, or have you done?
I did Red Team with Weeks once, and I think I was sitting there, and I had I think it was Garrett sitting next to me, and I completely forgot. How to use Metasploit. Like I lost it. I had lost it because I'd been sitting there. Doing like reverse engineering and capabilities development for so long that basic pen testing with Metasploit just hit me. I couldn't do it. And then it took me about 20 minutes, but I remembered how to do the work. You know, I've got things on the Metasploit framework, and I couldn't remember how the hell those things worked. So, you know, you fill your brain up with certain things, but we've got. So, what happened was Weeks has one hell of a C2 engine at this point, and if he gets on your box,
you're
then
screwed.
That's yeah, you might as well look. You're going to have to at this point. The only cure for Script Junkie is to nuke every instance you have of that similar operating system. And I don't mean revert to snapshot.
Wow.
I mean,
it's that bad. And you don't have a choice at CCDC because, you know, they already have persistence and the images you can back up too. So you're screwed
gosh.
No matter what. It all comes down to firewall and hope for the best.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, that script that we did up for the Palo Alto firewalls.
Yep.
You know, running it every 5 seconds, there's no way you can change the creds before we go in there, add a new user, and tunnel in through it.
Oh, my gosh. Man, he sounds like a public menace, but in a good way, because he's on the red team, which means he's...
Well, I still think that they should have some realistic scenarios, like an idiotic HR department or recruiting section or sales force that opens up every single attachment that crosses their desk.
Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't done that yet.
So I did
next
that.
Year, that'll leave them wanting.
Yeah, well, nice. Well, cool. A couple of years ago, I was allowed to participate on their orange team when they were still when that was still an open team request, and so it was awesome because I would call up these nice folks who, in their business case, would always answer the phone. It's a great day at Warp Core because the theme that year was Warp Core gaming. It was hilarious because they'd always answer so chipper and happy, even after you could hear in the background it was not chipper and happy over there. It was brilliant, actually, that they persisted with this approach to trying to make it sound like things were going okay, at least as a forward-thinking thought. And so it's a great day at Warp Core was their opening, and I actually have used that at work a few times, and people, what? What are you talking about? Nothing. Anyway, so... I was actually going to jump to a story about spending on the Internet of Things security and how much it's going to cost us all. So there's a story from computing.co.uk that actually talks about Gartner forecasts spending on IoT security will soar as more of these devices are adopted. So they're basically citing that security spending on research into IoT defense will reach a hefty $348 million in 2016, an increase of well over 23% on the $281.5 million from 2015. It's crazy. They're forecasting that 6.4 billion connected things will be in use worldwide by the end of 2016. That's an increase of 30%. Say again? Oh, yes, with a B. Yes, in case that didn't come across clearly. Thank you, Coop. And so they're projecting by 2018, you'll be up to 11.4 billion with a B. So, yeah,
well, you people forget that when the Brits, when the Brits kind of write things, you know, the numbers behind the letter kind of change. Like there's milliard and things like that. And when they say that, they, you know, it's billion, not million. So they, with
aluminium, what?
And people don't realize how, I guess when you get on the business development side of things, you start learning that this Gartner report stuff is incredibly important. If you get your, so it's a quad chart, right? There's a Gartner quad chart. Okay. If you get in the innovator,
Robovesh,
an expert, I need you to column there, start that. The upper.
No, you're back. What? You're back. Go ahead.
Okay. If you get in the upper right quadrant of the Gartner chart, that is, that, and you're a publicly traded company, that's very good to your investors. So I didn't know the importance of it until I started kind of looking at this more as a business, mm-hmm. Rather than kind of just an entertaining bit of research. So if I could explain to people who maybe are sitting there as reverse engineers now and thinking about moving the transition, some of these reports you're actually going to have to get familiar with. We make fun of the DBIR. We make fun of other reports, but the Gartner report, when it comes to, you know, analysts and stock junkies who are trying to understand the market, they're going to look at that frigging Gartner report.
Yeah.
And if you're in that upper right quadrant, you're winning. If you're in that lower left quadrant, you're not winning as much. But if you're on the chart at all, you're doing all right. So that's, you know, that's what we got. But with the Internet of Things, I think we really need to expound on how folks
what,
like embedded Linux, UC Linux, UC Linux, VxWorks, VxWorks not exactly Linux, but
right.
These embedded systems. So go you're gonna have to go back and learn. You're gonna have to learn ARM, you're gonna have to learn MIPS, you're gonna have to learn C. I'm sorry, it's coming back with a vengeance. You're gonna have to learn these low-level programs. For those of you that are going through CS250 and they're teaching you Java, go back, get the Bjornstrup C++ book, and go read.
So,
because you are going to be left behind.
So they
you're
okay, but
yet another Java developer sitting there writing modules for archaic banking systems.
And for everybody whoever tells me these days, don't bother learning Python. It's a dead language. I've got news for you. Every single talk I've seen in the last 5 years has the phrase, and I did this in Python, somewhere throughout almost every single one. Now, you'll find occasional, well, I had to build a module over here, or I did some of it in PowerShell. But there's almost always an API interface. There's always going to be some kind of Python-related connector, it seems like. And so that comes up to the, so how do you protect yourself? And so we actually have the UK, according to an article from the register.co.uk, says that UK.gov wasted $20 million trying to do an ad campaign saying, don't click stuff. I seem to recall there's a very large propensity in the community to say, don't click, fill in the blank. So the UK is supposedly having wasted £20 million on raising awareness about cybercrime. Unfortunately, another study, because people love to do studies, another study has shown the public still knows almost nothing about protecting themselves online. So it's almost, it's not quite the 80s and the Just Say No campaign. You're looking at something vastly different. You're looking at people not wanting to learn. This actually is a proponent. This is something that we all run into, I think, in a very frequent and frustrating way. I think there needs to be a way to educate people in a way that lands the punch. And as we said last week and the week before that, that education isn't being so effective. I believe that was Wolf who was talking about it, saying that training doesn't work. But I would suggest that training helps. You have to do something. You have to take some steps. Coop, what do you think?
Well, back when I was an IT manager, I would have to train my users. Otherwise, what am I going to do? stick another finger in the dike until it falls apart and falls on me?
Right.
Is that what the true essence of what a firewall is supposed to be in this day and age? No, everybody's job is security. It's not just in your title. I had to tell coders, look, if you don't write it as crap, then it doesn't end up being a vulnerability. Why not just fix it first instead of later coming back saying, guess what? You screwed the pooch. Let's fix it and then pick up the pieces.
So, Pinky, you actually work with the CCDC team. So what's been your experience with a team that's supposed to be working on trying to help people during... These are the defenders, right? I mean, these are a blue team. So what's been the experience with trying to train up folks? What's that been like?
The hardest part is actually convincing them all that it is still their responsibility, similar to what Coop was saying. You know, you have to basically teach a bunch of Linux guys that, hey, you know, just because Windows used to be crap back in the 2000s doesn't mean, you know, you're safe anymore. Linux is easy enough to pop these days. And they're still in this mindset of, oh, well, I don't have to worry because everyone's going to get the Windows machines instead. And then you hit CCDC, like this year originals. We had so much. We had only Linux machines for the most part. Mm. Our Active Directory was running on a Linux machine.
Oh, wow.
And then there's Metasploit, you know, that's going to get you both Linux and Windows fairly. And all that they have to do is point and click on it. Mm-hmm. So...
Now, I'm very curious.
It doesn't matter if they're really skilled hackers or script kiddies. You got to fix everything to protect yourself and your intellectual property. Otherwise, what job are you doing?
True.
Right? Because if you don't have any intellectual property, you don't have a business, you don't get a paycheck.
Well, I've always been on the side of that you should, you know, protecting intellectual properties. Each business is kind of, that's their thing. You want to you want to be safer in the world, protect your own intellectual property. Don't rely on lawyers to do it for you. You know, you're going to actually have to put the legwork in. So, and who knows, this has always been kind of a bugaboo of mine, is people who sit there and rely on the patent trolls you know, basically revive an idea that's already been fully implemented and things like that. And they rely on these patents when, you know, what we could have instead of these patents is we could have licensing schemes. We could have, I mean, there's VM Protect, which is a fantastic way to protect your executables from reverse engineering. There's Dopfuscator. And if you get Dopfuscator, the full version, it's pretty, and use some marshalling techniques, it's pretty damn hard to reverse engineer a .NET executable. And that's supposed to be one of the easiest things on the planet to just dump. Hmm. And I gotta tell you, if you use marshalling plus Dopfuscator, it's gonna take folks a long time to catch up with you, and figure out what you're doing wrong. And you know, maybe we actually need to start hiring ransom guys.
Because say that again. You need to start hiring which guys? The ransomware guys.
I said maybe we actually need to start hiring some of these ransomware guys because they get it. They get how to protect their executables, it's that direct money pipeline that you're messing with them.
Well,
we had in the stack a story about the ransomware guys. If you got it, they're sitting.
Yeah, so it actually says that Fox IT has encountered various ways in which ransomware is being spread and activated. Many infections happen by sending spam emails, luring the receiver into opening the infected attachment. Another method is impersonation, basically impersonating a well-known company in a spam email, basically targeted malware attack. It's a phishing exercise. Get folks to open it. And they're saying in the past few months, their incident response team was involved in several investigations where people are activating ransomware from a compromised remote desktop server. So that's one I haven't heard much of before. Have you guys experienced that?
I'm a little bit out of this. This actually might be more up Coop or Pinky's, Pinky's realm. I've been kind of a single gun proposal type for a while, and now I'm on the BD side of things.
Sure. Well, yeah, when you change the run into that, it happens.
On that domain.
Right, but okay, so they're saying that interesting that through RDP or the Remote Desktop Protocol, it's possible for folks to gain access over the network and pop the system running the services, formerly known as terminal services, and they're presented with a graphical interface that looks similar, and then they wind up accidentally clicking on something, and bam, it's done. And so there's actually a really good article from the blog.fox-it, so that's blog.fox-it.com, and they've got a really good explanation on this. And so it amazes me how there are always new little doors that people are finding to knock into it, which goes back to the concept of whaling, you know, tracing the evolution of phishing attacks, an article by David Bisson from Tripwire.com. And he's talking about how this common social engineering attack that we hear about almost every day in the news, or so it seems, it doesn't always have a very high success rate. But in this case, they go after these very targeted high visibility personnel, and that's whaling, right? So they're going to take this spear phishing and help to establish a false sense of a security and then exploit the human element once again. All it takes is one good knock on the door. And, you know, they talk about a good talk for prevention, detection, and response, but it's very difficult to actually build in that kind of training that has to be over, it's evolutionary, right? It's iterative, actually, might be a better word, where you stack each time a little bit better, a little bit more. Because if we take no steps, nothing gets better. So let's take some small steps, right? Just to start pushing the line back a little bit. So it's obviously not getting better yet, because I don't think we've sadly experienced enough. Pinky, again, you're on the front line with this at CCDC. Coop, you were on the white team this year. What did you see?
I saw what looks like, you know, every day at a startup, work in IT. Just the insanity of trying to stand stuff up and keep it up while everything's kind of burning around you at times. But, you know, little prevention with, like, at the end of that same article talking about using two-factor, how many times do you see second factor brought up over and over again as just a simple extra way to verify, you know, login credentials and that you're actually logging into the right service and not about to attempt to log into something that's recording your stuff and to be used later.
And so
I think
go ahead.
I think that with so enabling 2FA for or two-factor auth for RDP, fantastic idea. I got to tell you, I don't think that it's going to stop some of the folks in CCDC because of just the sheer presence that the red team has. Like, they're going to be able to probably replay those credentials pretty quickly on you, so they might actually beat that token expiration. But for anybody who's sitting there you know, maybe doing this remote desktop whaling, which I like, you know, they're keeping, let's keep the nomenclature simple, people. It's phishing, then it's spear phishing when it's targeted, then it's whaling when it's big. I like that. With the RDP thing, you know, a lot of these fellows aren't getting this knowledge that, hey, somebody just came back to my server within the same amount of time as the 2FA token is expired. Or if they do get there, they better get there in a hurry, because that thing is that stuff's gonna that auth is gonna break down. So I like this for CCDC and competitions. I think that enabling 2FA is just going to cause somebody to write another script that just does it, you know, as soon as they see it, they're gonna be in. But for your traditional guys, I think that actually might stop the RDP thing. It might stop this RDP stuff.
I mean, I agree, because what it comes down to is that the user is always the weakest component. So no matter how many layers of authentication you put on there, you know, the hacker is always going to get in, and the user is going to fall for something stupid like phishing. Because I actually did a risk assessment earlier in my master's program, and they knew we were doing it. And, you know, you can just go into Kali, open the Social Engineers Toolkit, which is available for anyone, download a page like Facebook, host it. It might not look 100%, but we already got, when we did it, we got one or two people legitimately giving us their username passwords. We had a few who were testing us, but I knew I had two good users that I could have logged in and ruined their lives if I wanted. And this was a high target that is very security oriented. So, I mean, that's surprising.
Two users is all you need.
Exactly.
One user is all you need.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you went half RoboVesh during that. That was actually so perfect. It elongated your speech there. That was hilarious. Or are you actually talking through a fan?
I'm like Hannibal Smith. I love it when a plan comes together.
Nice.
So.
But you said two users all you need, but two is one and one is none.
Oh.
My brain.
Thank you. Thank you. So I would actually like to, I actually want to take a hard, kind of a hard cut here to discuss, we're gonna call this Vesh's drinking corner for a minute here, and I would like we'll get back to the security, but I think this deserves to be pointed out.
That you need a
refill. What I do is I call this Link's magic potion. No, I don't need a refill.
Link's magic potion.
Potion. It's actually in a It's in it, and it's blue. It's blue too. So it's in a ball mason jar. And what I do is I buy the grape flavored Pedialyte, right? Because it's got electrolytes like Grondo. And I put in about 3 shots 100 proof vodka. I dump in a bunch, till about a third of the way in. Of the Pedialyte, and then I dump in a blue monster, and it looks just like Link's magic potion.
Oh my
so
gosh!
It gets you where you want to go, people. That's all I'm saying.
I've heard actually
You want to code all night? This is your solution. It's got all the caffeine that you need and all the booze that's going to keep that brain moving.
Only if
Speaking
you're over 21.
Vulnerabilities.
Legal age, people. And in addition, the other side of that is...
Be over 21.
Thank you. And the other side of that is Pedialyte Mimosas was the other one I'd heard of, actually, from a separate source. Which is a very similar recipe, apparently.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Pedialyte, shears that hangover right off. You take a couple of Advil before you go to bed, and you don't have to worry if you smoked an entire pack of cigarettes, you're still not going to wake up with that headache.
It doesn't have to be Pedialyte. You can do smart water, Gatorade, any of those. Don't wake yourself up with Pedialyte. It's, way cheaper if you go Gatorade.
Yeah, but Pedialyte has more electrolytes for your buck. Right, I find that when I used to get so they had this great brewery when I was in upstate New York growing up, called the Buck Out, and I say great, 16, and we drink these things, Nikki Gators, and basically what they did was they there was a thing made and in a cup, and then basically they would just fill you up with Gatorade or booze, and then the more you drank, and they didn't charge you. They charged you like $10 for the whole thing.
Really?
And it was like $10 for the whole thing, and they kept filling the cup up, and it got more and more filled with booze as you were going along. So at first it'd be like 80-20, and then by the end you were drinking just straight vodka. And it's not, and this is not nice vodka. This is plastic jug.
Vodka.
Yeah, Svedka with the label falling off vodka.
Yeah, great. But this is not archery. We don't need the sound device every single episode. That's okay. But it sounds like we've definitely.
Well, I appreciate Pinky jumping in there with ways to enable my steady decline into alcoholism.
Great.
Look, if you want a PhD, the first step is drink. The second step is drink more.
Oh gosh.
Third is do a little bit and then drink even more.
My goodness.
Love it. I love everything you're saying.
Well, on that fantastic end note of help, I think is a good opportunity to wrap the show for this week. Thank you very much for joining us, Pinky, Coop, Vesh. Thank you so much, guys, for stepping in. I am, of course, Sciatic Nerd, and this has been Saha Says. Now, we are actually going to come back again next week. We recorded one night early to take care of Mother's Day, because I have a feeling several of us will be busy. But we will be back, and we will talk about more security and probably some other things like robots and booze. So come back. Join us. It'll be fun.
And laugh. Don't forget to laugh.
Have a good night.